This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Cody Bessant. Cody is with Plains Cotton Growers, joins us in just a moment. Well, what's the advice you're getting for going into 2023? Heather Malcolm's a banker from Montana.
So my first advice is always talk to your banker. I know it's a scary thing to go in and visit with your banker, but they really are your ally. They want you to succeed as well. Tell them everything. And I know that's a scary thing for people because finances are so important to people, but tell them everything so that they can be the best advisor that they can be for your operation. So be honest and truthful with them, and they will help you the best that they can. So that's my biggest piece of advice, is to have a really good relationship with your ag banker. And if you don't, find an ag banker that you can have that relationship with. It's okay to change. It's your business, and you need to treat it as such.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Cody Bessant. Cody is CEO of Plains Cotton Growers, and it's been working from the road. Cody, I'm just wondering, do you actually count up the number of days in a year that you're on the road?
I haven't. I probably should at some point, just from a quality standpoint, but periodically we do work from the road, either myself or other staff, just given what's going on. This week I'm actually at the Cotton Incorporated and Cotton Board meeting. Traditionally in a different setting, I'm either in Washington, D.C. or Austin, and we'll be in those arenas again very soon. So, but a different location, different mode of operation this week, but certainly all a very worthwhile cause, interest that we're engaged in participating in on a regular basis.
I'm glad you mentioned that because, you know, some will think of the cotton industry, and it's easy to think of the industry in our neighborhood, if you will. So if we're growers, the industry is growers. And if you're Jenner, it's Jenners. But really, when you step back and look at how the Cotton Board and Cotton Incorporated work and the monies that flow in, we've got importers that are a big part of that. We've got other segments of the industry. How important is it for all those segments to sit down at the table and make sure we're all pulling in the same direction?
It's extremely important. So as most know, the cotton industry is composed of seven different segments. And in order for all cylinders to fire at the same time and work cohesively, we all have to have a collective conversation of what's important and value in that process throughout the entire set of segments. So, you know, obviously from the producer segment, the initial cotton production segment, having conversations of what's important on that level, be it quality of seed, quality of fiber-based products, agronomic conditions, growing conditions, pricing opportunities, everything that really makes that initial segment tick, or something that we're very engaged in and have conversations with the latter segments that obviously have different importance, be it, as you mentioned, the importers certainly have a big voice of bringing in the flow of cotton from an export system to where it's spun and retailed into an apparel-based product, and then retroactively shipped back overseas where a consumer can purchase it. And so here within the Cotton Board and Cotton Incorporated type of atmosphere, you have the Cotton Board, essentially the checkoff standpoint that meets a lot of the demands from research and development, and how do we better hone in the types of research and development that impact the producer level, but also the supply chain segment as a whole, in meeting consumer demands, and obviously a vast array of different interests from across the entire Cotton Belt, issues that are extremely of an importance to the High Plains, Southern High Plains, or the Southwest area from Texas all the way up into Kansas are certainly very different than some of the initiatives and challenges we see in the Southern Southeast and Southeast and even the Far West. So it's really important to have a collective time to reflect on what's going on and what's important for all segments and how we can meet the different values and converge together to build and continue to capitalize on a robust cotton industry, especially when everything coalesces and works well, and then also works when Mother Nature cooperates. Cotton Incorporated, from a continuation of the R&D side, you know, typically we'll focus on apparel-based segments where we can continue to be competitive against other you know, man-made synthetic fibers, but also from a promotional standpoint of natural-based fibers and apparel. They continue to have a more heightened sense of opportunity in the consumer-based industry today, where people are exploring and want to have more of a natural-based fiber from either leisure wear or more formal wear or household items as well. And so trying to continue to build upon those base products, and really clearly that's how the industry is coalesced in those two rough segments.
You know, I'm sure this is a topic of conversation that usually is at meetings like this. What's happening in your neck of the woods? How's the crop? Is it better? Is it worse than what we're hearing? So I'm sure you've answered that a couple of times. Where would you put the High Plains crop today?
Yeah, so we're probably about 90% off the stock across the High Plains, Southern High Plains, and onto the Oklahoma and Kansas. We're a little bit later in some areas just because some individuals waited for a freeze in order to reduce some of the input costs tied to defoliation. And also you have the organic type of industry segment, which we have some of that in all areas. That traditionally have to wait for a freeze. And so that's kind of some of the remaining cotton to be harvested and should see most of that completed going into the end of the calendar year. From an overall production-based standpoint, you know, certainly this is no unknown to anyone throughout our area, the Upper High Plains through Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas. But it's been a difficult year. Mother Nature is certainly unwielded a little bit of unkindness this year, be it a lack of rainfall or even just the high, vast temperatures we saw through the growing months. And so our production is going to be substantially lower than what we've seen historically, and certainly could be one of the more catastrophic years that we've seen since the early 1950s from a production-based standpoint. Now, you get outside of the Southwest region and over into the Mid-South or Southern Southeast, and they're set to really shape up and have a pretty decent crop. Overall, they do have some quality-based impacts that they're seeing, but fortunately they've been to escape some of the weather-related incidents, be it the recent hurricane that ran through the portion of Florida and up through the Southeast coast. And so we'll see some decent production throughout those regions as a whole. But it's unique. Every area is faced with certainly difficulties and challenges. This year has just been kind of one for the records. Overall, from a ginning capacity standpoint, one favorable note is, at least up in some of the conversations we've had in the Panhandle area with folks, they are seeing a little bit better yield potential than what they had originally anticipated. So hopefully we'll have a little bit more volume going into the end of the season, but it still is very much a short crop. But trying to stay more of an opportunistic opportunity and be optimistic, it is a little bit better than what was originally thought, but certainly well below, if not below half, then more than half of what a traditional crop would be throughout most of our growing region.
And I guess maybe a good way to kind of wrap this all up is, not only are we coming to the end of the cotton growing season with harvest wrapping up, we're also coming to the end of a congressional session. So as this Congress prepares to wrap up, does that mean you have to be alert as to what could be happening?
You do, and certainly there's several initiatives that continue to be worked on by us and the Cotton Council and Southwest Council of Agribusiness and the vast majority of other commodity-based organizations heading into the end of the calendar year. A couple of things that Congress certainly has to get done is they've got to fund national defense. It's something that's still on the table. And then one of the bigger items is an end-of-the-year spending package, how to keep the government doors open. Since the continuing resolution that they're operating underneath expires on December the 16th, and making sure that everything is funding going into the remainder of a fiscal year, which is on into the end of September of 2023. A couple of key items that continue to be focused on within the cotton industry is and this would be even beyond the cotton industry, is an extension of the emergency relief program for 2022 crop year. You know, certainly a vast array of producers have experienced catastrophic loss, be it in our region, drought. You've got wildfires over in California. You've obviously got the hurricane that hit the Mid-South, and trying to pick up and address those issues going into a new year. Secondly, you know, there's a lot of appetite to continue to fund mechanism for the boll weevil eradication program that we continue to focus on, improvements to the cotton classing labs throughout the entire cotton belt. If most are aware, the Lubbock Classing Office is one of the newest and most innovative facilities that was opened and established this last year. We're trying to make continuing improvements to other classing offices, so like the one in Lamesa and Abilene and Corpus and Memphis and other locations as well. So kind of stay tuned on that. There continues to be a large push to try to provide also assistance for infrastructure. You know, certainly producers are affected on the lingering drought, but also infrastructure is certainly impacted just as the same because they depend on volume to maintain throughput throughout the growing season, and a lack of that certainly has a financial impact to those segments as well. All this is still very negotiable. It's ongoing as we speak. Just ask that people continue to remain engaged with their legislators, continue to make them aware of how important a package like this will be, having the ability to provide some much needed assistance going into a new year to keep people flowing or keep people afloat. And then also we'll pivot as we get into the new calendar year, into the new Congress, in developing of a new 2023 Farm Bill process, and hopefully be able to develop some mechanisms in place that help us better address the catastrophic events we've seen with Mother Nature over the last several years and be much more prepared so we're not continually having to look at ad hoc assistance that we're seeking today.
Well, there is plenty going on. You started by saying you're on the road quite a bit, either in Austin or D.C. A good majority of the time. Obviously, as producers, you can't be there. So is that the reason why PCG, one of the reasons why PCG is here and you're doing that work?
Absolutely. You know, we were founded in 1956 on one of the sole principles is to provide premier service to cotton producers on the High Plains and Southern High Plains in the legislative arena and regulatory, as well as research and development and market development. So all these kind of moving parts are very similar to other commodity-based organizations that work very similarly and collectively on their producer interests on their behalf as well. That's one reason we spend a lot of time in D.C. on the legislative and regulatory framework system, Austin as well from the state impact, and then obviously from an R&D and a market development standpoint where we're at today at Cotton Board and Cotton Incorporated.
If you want to keep up with Plains Cotton Growers, they're online at plainscotton.org. Cody Bessent with Plains Cotton Growers on today's Agribusiness Report.
There's a tradition down here in the South, a tradition of hard work, a tradition of straight talk. For more than 100 years, Delta Pine Cotton has been a proud part of that tradition. With proven yield potential and genetics you won't find anywhere else, Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with Strong Cotton from Delta Pine Brand. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Did you know that the world-famous Café Du Monde has always used cottonseed oil to fry their beignets? Cotton Board invested over $1.5 million into cottonseed research and marketing last year with Cotton Incorporated, including research on the health benefits of cottonseed oil compared to other oils. Our goal is to make cottonseed oil the preferred cooking oil in kitchens across the country, like a Café Du Monde in New Orleans. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Cody Bessent with Plains Cotton Growers.
At Ag Texas Farm Credit, your success is our only purpose. We understand your financing needs and will be here to support you through it all. We specialize in traditional farming and ranching operations, recreational property, equipment and livestock, agribusiness, and country home loans, plus insurance and leasing. At Ag Texas, we're dedicated to the prosperity of agriculture and rural America. Ag Texas Farm Credit, your success, our purpose.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. You can keep up with Plains Cotton Growers online, plainscotton.org. Are you looking for a new opportunity? The King Ranch Institute for Ranch Management's Ranch Manager Job Board is open, with jobs posted from Texas, Idaho, New Mexico, Nebraska, Colorado, New York, Montana, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Oregon, Florida, even Mexico. Or are you looking for someone to manage a ranch? Find out more at the King Ranch Institute for Ranch Management online, KRIRM.com.
It's not for everybody. Not everyone is up that early or out so late. Few are out feeding at sunrise or hauling at sunset. Not everybody expects as much from their tractor, but for those who do, a Fendt makes all the difference. That difference is how it's built and what it can do. And from the moment you sit in one, you understand why the best run operations run Fendt. Test drive a Fendt today. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. Tony Coder is Executive Director of the Ohio Suicide Prevention Foundation.
You know, if you're feeling really, really down, if you're feeling low, if you see that your friends or your family, you know, your kids, all of a sudden they've been around the family and it's like, wow, I'm not seeing them anymore. Or that friend that pops by every week or so, you haven't been seeing them for a couple of weeks. Those are big issues. If you've noticed that, the alcohol usage has increased. If you see them struggling, if they're kids at school, or even becoming really moody, that, you know, they were really happy and all of a sudden they have these high and low mood swings, those are big signs of whether someone might be struggling with some mental health issues. And it might be a perfect opportunity for you to bring it up and say, hey, you know, is there something I can help you with?